Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to be with you today. Whoops. Good evening, YouTube. It's good to be with you today. And to all of our Zoomers, all you Zoomers, everybody shout, howdy, howdy. Just, don't worry about the sound that you're about to hear. It's all right. It's a good sound. Anyways, we're glad to have you with us tonight. And we're actually going to do part two of One with the Father, What a Place to Live. And I hope you enjoyed last night's message. I did. And I was enjoying it again last night when I got back out and was driving. And I got so filled with enjoyment that I got pulled over. So you must be aware that listening to our messages can have a serious effect on you. Now, thank you, everyone, for being a part of praying for our family, praying for our lives. We really do appreciate it, and it makes a very, very big difference. And thank you all. If you are not enjoying your summer yet, I would recommend to you, get up, get out, and enjoy it. Get up. Get out and enjoy it. Now, you know, to some of you, that'll be in the swimming pool. And to others of you, that'll be in the, you know, canoe or the boat. And some of you will be out shopping. Some of you just be sitting on the porch. But whatever you do, get out and enjoy, because, you know, summer is already half over. Did you know that?
Oh, my goodness. The year is half over. Who
summer starts at June 21st.
I know.
Day.
I know. So we're only 6 days into it, but it also ends on September 21st. So we just encourage you, remember next week is 4th of July. Buy your fireworks early. Plan your big get-together. And 4th of July is when we remember the day that America declared their independence. And thank God that they did. Thank God they did. And, you know, tomorrow morning for the prayer program, we're probably going to play Brother Copeland at the Flashpoint event. He was there talking and prophesying, and so we'll probably hook up to that. But anyways, thank you, Father, for a wonderful nation. And we say, may God bless America, and may God bless each of you as you do your part in America to make your community free. You know, if every believer in every city, county, township, village, you know, flashing yellow light crossing, if every one of us that really is a believer would just speak life more abundantly to our city, the world could not stand up to the righteousness that it would bring, because we would be speaking life into our city. And thank you, Jesus, that we've learned here not to get involved in all the battle. I believe you should be involved in politics, but I believe you should be involved to control it. And to control is probably not the right word, but to lead it so that it'll go in the right place and it'll get the right thing accomplished in Jesus' mighty name. Now, we always talk a little bit here at the beginning because we got to get things up and running. And, you know, that's always a fun thing to get done. Thank God for good people. Thank God for each of you and your patience. Those of you that are a part of our morning program, we are going to be having Sister Nancy Dufresne. She's for however long it takes her to go through this book, we're probably going to be with her doing it. It's called something about grief and how to be free from grief and sorrow or something. Wow. I encourage you to come and be a part of it. And you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm not dealing with grief. And she's doing a very good job of painting the picture that every one of us have had to deal with grief. And are you dealing with it properly? And that's our morning program. There's a lot of people that are actually living bound by the spirit of grief, which is fear and confusion and loneliness and betrayal and stuff about the United States of America, because they feel like we've been betrayed by our politicians. And we have been, but we fired all of them that betrayed us. And now God's doing his part to remove them. And that's a good thing. And so, Father, just remove every wicked politician, no matter where they are, no matter what their governmental seat. Remove them. Get rid of the garbage out of our system so that we can all live and enjoy the wonderful blessing of God in this great nation. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Oops. Now, I'm almost ready. Almost. YouTube doesn't give us the ability to do a couple things here, so we have to come in and do it after the program goes live. But we've almost got it finished. You know, I've been thinking the last couple of days. Really, it's probably been the last 6 months, but the last couple of days of just the amazing effect of the fact that Jesus came and gave his life for you and me, and then said, "Here's my righteousness." And then he said, "How about I just let you be one with me? Can you come on up into oneness with me?" And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. It's like Sister Sunday got bounced out again. Let's see if we can let her back in. Good evening, Sister Sunday. Good to have you with us tonight.
Thank you.
Hang on, everybody. I've got to change the sun glare. Some people get sunspots. We get the glory glare. There we go. All right. Well, let's get started here. You know, last night when we were listening to that, we said all them people's names and talked all the way through it like we used to do. I said last night to the Father, I'm like, "Father, why were we able to do it? What changed about that back there? Because something changed." And it doesn't matter to me what changes it. But what's important to me is that we're doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason with the right people. And one of the things he said to me about what changed is that the technology of Facebook was so effective for communication, because you could type a message in and it was, you know, fast and you could see it, and it helped us carry on a whole conversation. And so as Facebook changed their platform and made it more difficult for the churches and ministries to function in, that's really what happened. And with all of our conversation and different things that we've done. And, you know, YouTube's getting better at it. And we got Zoom. But there's nothing that worked quite as simply as what Facebook did back then. And so no matter what, always remember this. Remember the people. Pray for everybody that's ever been here and been a part of us. Most of all, you be you here. And then you be you and grow. We want you to be yourself. But all of us are going to grow and develop in God. And he's going to take every one of us to another level in him. And there's only one way to get to a new level. And that is you got to grow there. And you got to choose to consecrate to it. And you got to stand in faith for it. And then you go to the next level. And of course, you get to the next level, and it gives you a better understanding of your authority over the devil. And I know there's a lot of people that say new levels, new devils. Well, yeah, there is a new level. And you and I get to crush more devils. And I like that. We get to take more serious dominion over our enemy than we've ever done before. And I like that. And, you know, 53 nations of the world, thank you for your faith as we speak those nations into being as part of what's going on here in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. For those of you that love to pray, we do have a prayer program in the mornings, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. We welcome you to come and be a part of it. I know there's a lot of people who are busy and, you know, you got your job and everything. So we understand that. But any day that you can get out there, come out and pray with us and put your faith in agreement with us. Literally, we are changing this world. And in the last 2 days, as we listened to Brother Dutch, man, the work that's going on is just amazing. And then Sean Falk has had his big three-day event there on the beach in California, and they've been baptizing hundreds and hundreds of people. Thank God for Brother Sean. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare over Sean every revivalist that's doing just like him, especially those that nobody knows their name, and they're just being faithful to their community. We bless them now in Jesus' mighty name. May they lift up the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And hold your banner high. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Let me see if I got everything ready here. Amen. Looks like we do. Brother Rogers over there. The rays of the Spirit are coming through the window. Hey, bless you, brother. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow. There you go. YouTube is up and streaming. And are you ready? Roman's ready. Hi, Rome. I'll have some more popping up. You know, I always show you Ripley, but I never show you Roman. This is Roman the cat. And he's an old duffer, but he's a good one. And he comes out and he headbutts your shin. Like, hi, good morning. Hi, good morning. Don't you, brother? Don't you? So this is the one you hear screeching. So sometimes you might think I'm actually giving you a reference in Romans, And I'm actually just dealing with the cat. Anyways, you've had a complete tour of the house now. All right, here we go. Oh, that's what we was trying to get done was the opening prayer. I don't have it up and going. I'm not going to wait for it. So let's just do this like this. Oh, grab your Bible. Let's hold it up. We're going to make our Bible confession. I got to remember what I'm doing here. I actually am pretty good at the technology here. I just got to remember what we're doing. There we go. It's on the screen. I think it's on the screen. Everybody just say it with me as we say it together. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return and more in my spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Now, there we go. So here I've got some verses for us tonight. Actually going to go through the same set of verses that we went through last night in our teaching. So our teaching tonight is One with the Father, What a Place to Live. One with the Father, What a Place to Live. Now, let's go to the book of John. Chapter number 17. I want to start there with those verses because they're some of the most powerful verses about being one with God. And we're going to begin our reading right there. John 17:20. John 17. And that runs down through 26. Now, before I read it, remember, if you've not ever done it, I encourage you to do it, that you choose a 45-minute segment of your life and that you sit down and you just read John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. But read it out loud, because when you read it out loud, it has a greater effect on your understanding. Now, what is this for those of you that might be new to the kingdom? Because we have many people that just get born again here, and this is their first understanding of the kingdom. This is the last night of Jesus' ministry on this earth. And he has said to the disciples, go and find me the upper room, and can partake of the Passover together. And then when you go to Luke chapter 22, Luke records it, that Jesus said, how earnestly I have desired to partake of this Passover with you. Now, here's the interesting understanding. Jesus knew that it was the last Passover. The disciples did not. When you and I, as we read the Bible, we have to realize these people didn't realize, they didn't know they were writing the Bible. They were just living their life. They were smart enough to have Luke come along with them and write memoirs, I guess, is really what the book of Acts would be a memoir of all the trips that he took with Peter, James, and John, and then Saul, Paul, and then Silas, and all the different places. And so this chapter 17 is after Jesus received the Passover with them, took a towel, washed their feet, taught them that they should wash the feet, and then Judas went out, and these are Jesus' last words that he spoke to the disciples. And and so these are some of the most important words of Jesus' ministry. You know, when he saw Peter in the boat, he said, "I'm going to make you fisher of men." That was an important word to Peter. But everything that Jesus says in 14, 15, 16, and 17 is a culmination of everything that's gone on in his ministry. That's what's missing. You turn the light out. Keep looking at the picture going, something ain't right. There, the spotlight on the flag. That makes it all better now. I just like it, whether you like it or not. So, John 17, 20 through 26 is the last prayer Jesus prayed publicly with the disciples. If you've never done it, open your Bible up and just slow everything down, turn off all your electronics, and just read chapter 17 out loud. And when you read it out loud, say, "This is Jesus, and he is praying for me." You know, around here we read Ephesians 1 prayer, Ephesians 3 prayer, Colossians 2 prayer. These are three great prayers the Apostle Paul prayed. And we believe you should pray. But this prayer should probably be one that we read regularly and pray. Because this is Jesus praying for us. This is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and he's praying for you and me. Here we go. John chapter 17, verse number 20. You know, I had this thought a couple times, fellas. Do you want to read this? Would you like to read this set of verses? I know you really like them.
Is she in a position?
Are you in a position that you can read? I know you have your parka on, but you can probably read out from underneath of it. Your mic is muted, too. There you go.
Okay. What do you want me to read, baby?
John 17, 20 through 26. And read it with some feeling, but don't stop and preach too long.
Okay, you say 20 through 26?
Yes, John 17.
Well, I don't know why you want to leave out so much, but just, all right, 20 through 26 it is. Okay. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words.
Now, I just found me in the Bible right there. I'm one.
Yeah.
Who believed in their word.
It's a capital me, so it don't mean you. Okay. That they all may be one,
yeah.
as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us.
Amen.
That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. And I'm always telling everybody, the only way we can be one with anyone is through the Holy Spirit. But anyway, people don't like hearing me preach. All right. Verse 23 now. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me.
Think about that statement. The Father loves us just like he loved Jesus.
Absolutely. So verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am,
Amen.
That they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I am in them.
Wow. Wow. And Phyllis just did a really good job of not preaching, because there was about six different points in there where she would normally preach.
Well, I just love chapter 17. The whole chapter is the prayer that Jesus prayed for me. He prayed it for you too. But this is the real Lord's Prayer that he brings to us.
Amen.
The Lord's Prayer in Matthew is important because it's the example of how we should pray. But this is the prayer that he prayed for us forever.
Yeah. I don't know.
Right now.
I think it was Kevin Zadi or one of them that said, really, you shouldn't name that the Lord's Prayer. You should name that the Disciples' Prayer. The Lord was teaching the disciple to pray. So that's really a prayer for us who are disciples. And like
the one in Matthew should be called the disciple's prayer.
And like Sister Phyllis just said, this one should actually be called the Lord's Prayer, because this is when Jesus is praying for us. Now, back to the message at hand, I had to give Sister Phyllis a little chance to say something so she could pop the steam off. And her ears didn't tremble or something. Love you, fellas.
I love y'all too.
Now, watch this. There's so many important things in this about being one with the Father. And I have taught this message, one with the Father, from many different points of view. But I always want to teach it from the Bible point of view. If we just read the Bible and believe what the Bible says, then we're going to get what the Bible says we get to have. Can we have any amens in this Episcopal Church tonight? First, John. 1 John, this is little John in the back by Revelation. 1 John 4:17. All right. So, now look at this. Remember, we're talking about being one with God. Some of you who will hear this message are like, God, somebody throw something at that preacher. He just said we get to be one with God. Well, remember this statement. I want you to write this statement down. Somebody type it in. If the only time you're free from sin is when you die, death is your savior. Let me say it again. If the only time you actually are able to be set free from the effects of sin is when you die, death is your savior, not Jesus. Well, but Pastor, Jesus saved you from your sins so that you could be saved from your sins. And, you know, once you get saved from your sins, you get to go to heaven. Well, wait, did you get what you actually just said? Jesus died so that we could be saved from our sin. And that means once you is saved, you is no longer not saved. I know I said it a little bit last night. Wait, I listened to a lot of messages last night while I was driving, so I don't know where I heard this, but I know I said it somewhere. Okay? You and I are either a sinner or a saint. There's a lot of people in this day saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, let's establish something here in that cute little religious statement. You can't be a sinner and a saint at the same time. You're one or the other. You're either pregnant.
I like being called a saint. I really like it.
Either pregnant or you're not.
Yeah.
Right? There's no other place to be. You either have been born again, which now makes you a saint, or you ain't been born again, and that makes you a sinner. And hurry up and get born again because Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Amen? Now, why are you making a deal out of that, Pastor? Because, listen, when we're going to go back and read this in a minute in John. But if you don't make that transition that I'm no longer a sinner, if you don't make the transition, then what I'm teaching you right now, you won't have a clue and won't even be able to get a clue. Remember, the truth is not hidden from you. It's hidden for you, but there's a requirement that you seek after it. He is the rewarder of who? Them who seek him. In Book of Proverbs, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it's the glory of a king to search out the matter. I just got a really strange message. It said the meeting is now streaming live on YouTube. Is it taking this long for a beer? Okay. It's all right. It just popped up, so I was just checking to see. Now,
you know what? Maybe it restarted. All of your comments are going now.
Really? Well, so here we go. Really, it just restarted.
Yep,
all right. Now watch. 1 John 4:17. Look at this verse. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. How in this world do I get to be one with the Father? Because any man that's in Christ is a new creation. And once you am, you is. It's no longer I hope I can be, or maybe someday I might be. No, you is. You is one. I'm trying to say it in a different way so they'll have a different effect so more people can get it. Because see, when you say, I am a sinner, you can't say you're a sinner once you've been born again. It did end, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Did it start back up?
No.
I still show it as live.
Well, I just told you it was being streamed live.
I can go in and see if I can get on YouTube.
Thank you. Thank you. That would help. Thank you. Now, it's being recorded on Blog Talk Radio, so at least I got the audio. But let's just keep going while they're looking. That's interesting. So do I just close this and start again? Somebody pause for a minute. Somebody sing. Somebody whistle.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me a great salvation so rich and free.
All right, well, there. I stopped it. Hi, Sandy.
It is on, and it's gone. In fact, it just kicked in over there.
In fact, it just shut off because I just shut it off.
Well, that was silly. It was online.
Well, let's just... we'll just do this right here, and we'll kick it right back on. Just because that's what we do. And this is part two. All right, we are now streaming live again. So let me make sure Brother Roger gets it. Welcome, YouTube. Good to have you with us tonight. And for those of you that was on YouTube and all of a sudden it paused on us over there, I don't have any idea what's happened with it. I'm not clicking any buttons.
I wonder if they thought maybe the rapture happened.
You know, we should have said right at the end when it was disconnecting, the rapture.
Oh, that would have been cruel.
But, you know, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't ever lose his place. I'm in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. This verse says, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, wait. To all of you who have that religious bone and that stretches you way out that you get to be like Jesus, if you just take John 4:17 and go to John 17:20 and you put them two 17s together, you realize that John got the revelation, you and I get to be one with the Father. Now, I know that people be like, Pastor.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what I told you.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Now watch. For those of you who say that is disrespectful and sacrilegious, let me just give you a good word to help you understand this. If I can get all the echoes to stop.
I'm sorry.
All right. Now, I want to help. It's interesting that this is where we are tonight with this message. This is not where I was decided to go, but it's where we are. Now, get this. If the things of God, if salvation, if faith, if holiness, if the things of God are too holy for you to be able to talk about, then I got a word for you. You're going to have to figure out what is truly holy and what is truly wisdom and what God means when he says, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer of the word. So let's read it again. John 17, I want you to get this. We're just going to hit this tonight, and we're going to help some people tonight get over their religiosity and get into a relationship where you actually understand you get to use and enjoy the provisions of God for your life that come through Jesus. Now, remember this statement. If the only time you're actually free from sin is when you die, then death is your savior, not Jesus. Now, I know that sentence really messes with a lot of people, but let it mess with you because Jesus is the savior while you're alive, not when you die.
Amen.
I should have got a better amen than that. John 17, read it with me. You follow along while I read it. This is verse 20. I do not pray for these alone. That's the disciples in front of him. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and me. Everybody who lived since John 17, 20 actually happened in the chronological order of history is found in that verse, verse 20, right there. Everybody in the whole world is found in verse 20. That's a big old verse right there. Now watch. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. This is Jesus the Christ talking, and he's praying to the Father, and he's saying that all of us may be one as he is with the Father and the Father is with him. Well, I got a word for you. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for Jesus and the Father to live in here. Then Jesus and the Father got to be able to help you living in here be free from sin out here. Who was preaching that the other day when we heard that made that statement? We were listening to somebody talk about it. The reality of the fact is this. You've got to let God be God. And you've got to let God hand you the weapons of the word of God, and then you've got to grab those weapons and go to war. The blood of Jesus works just as much as for to save you from your sins, to heal your body, to give you soundness of mind, to fill your pocket with money, to bless your children and help them do. The blood of Jesus does all of that. Why? You're going to have to go there because I'm not going to stop. I know my flow for tonight, and this is going to be a good flow, and I'm not stopping. I'm going to pull every verse out of this Bible that says the same thing. Revelation 12, 11. I have now left last night's verse list, and I've launched out on my own. I mean, the guy that made that verse list, he did all right, but I got a new revelation. Look at this verse, Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him. That him is not capitalized. That's not Jesus. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life to the point of death. Now, think about this. Jesus, This is John prophesying what he saw when he was there in heaven. So let's read it again. And they overcame him. Let's find out who the him is. All right, verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Say it with me, the accuser is cast down. But look at the next part of verse 11. And they overcame him. That's you and that's me doing some overcoming so that things can happen on this earth. It's an actual process that people got to take. And they overcame him. Now, you and I, we can't overcome him with our blood. That doesn't work. You have to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. But that means you got to open your mouth at some point and finally say, I am a saint. I am born again. I am a new creation. I am one with the Father. I am seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now, I can tell that there's some folks that are like, Pastor, you're getting real close to blaspheming. I know. I know that you would say that. And the next thing you're going to tell me is that if I'm casting out a demon, I should make sure all spiritually weak people are out of there. Did you ever notice that Jesus didn't tell all the spiritually weak people to leave his crowds when he cast the demon out?
No, he didn't.
And I know there's a bunch of you that say, don't put your hand on him, whatever you do. The demon might come on you. Well, that means you ain't saved. That demon ain't coming on you. You're getting ready to cast it out. See, what we've done is we've put a doctrine of the devil and let him be this huge monster in our life. And we've taken the things of God and made him so holy you can't touch him. If you can't write in your Bible like this, you got to get a new Bible. This is a map. This is a roadmap. Haven't you ever, you know, in the new day, our children don't know how to do this. Some people, some my children do, but not everybody's. Is to open up an atlas and actually plan a route.
Yeah.
And when you used to have to do that, you would find whatever map you were going to use, and you'd take a yellow highlighter or something, or a pink one, and then you would trace the roads where you're going to take, and you would we're going to turn at that little city. And, you know, like, that was major old school. That was like before a horse even existed. But see, that's because that's your roadmap. That's what this is. This is your roadmap. You got to be able to write in it. Pastor, you can't write in the Bible. It's holy. That's like saying you can't use Jesus' blood because it's holy. Well, certainly it's holy. But he shed his blood so that you can use it. Look at what it says in Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. You got to take that blood, put it down inside your heart, speak it out of your mouth, and hurl it like a weapon at the enemy 24/7, 365.
Amen.
I mean, you preach it. It's like the people in the churches that say, if you've sinned, don't come on the day you have communion. No. If you've sinned, come to church on the day we're having communion, because what you need when you've sinned is his broken body and his blood shed. Can I get an amen from anybody? I saw Dr. Barkley do it. That's so good. I'm going to give myself an offering right now. Amen. Amen. No, see, you and I have got to take this verse. You can't wear out the blood of Jesus. Remember Dr. Summerall's story about the lady that was in the healing line, and she came through the third time. He's like, man, you've been up here before. I can tell your face. She said, well, yeah, but you're not always going to be with us. So I'm storing up these prayers in case I need it in the future. Well, now, that's an industrious person. That's an intelligent person. But you don't have to store nothing up. But and there ain't nothing wrong with going through a line getting prayed for three times either. Unless, of course, there's 2,000 people in the line and the guy laying hands is about ready to fall out.
Yeah.
And then you should give a couple of your times up for somebody else to make it through. But anyways. See, we got to get this revelation about being one with the Father. You have just as much right to use the blood of Jesus for your finances as you do for your salvation. Wow. I'm about to get the bongos out, Brother Roger. See, let's hold your place there in Revelation. Pull out your Don Pastorick bookmark. That's awesome, Mary. And let's go back to John chapter 17. Now we're going to read this again. Thank you. Watch this. John 17:21. This whole message can be put into one point. What is that point? I get to be one with the Father if I pay the price to get there. You don't get to enjoy the benefits if you don't do what it takes to be part of the process. If you walk around all the time saying, I'm confused, God hates me, God's a mean judge, you're never going to get the benefits and the blessings of all that God has for you if you walk around with that mentality coming out of your lips. And God is so holy you can't touch him. And the Bible is so holy you can't even read it. And the Holy Spirit language is so holy you can only do it at church. And the anointing with oil and the laying out of hands is so holy you can only use it in the sanctuary right in front of the pulpit. No, you have limited our God. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus was the example. Jesus walked amongst the lepers. Jesus walked amongst the business people. Jesus went with eight and ate with the IRS agents. Man, that's messed up. All right? Jesus went into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. So you've got to be able to walk out in this world with Jesus as our example and have it have no effect on you. And it won't have any effect on you. And you're like, yeah, but Pastor, it's having an effect because my old ways are coming back to me, and I don't want to be that old way. Listen, all that old way is a fiery dart. It's the only thing about it, it's a fiery dart. Listen to that statement. Well, let's read it out. We didn't even read any verses over here. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 next. Somebody remind me when I ask it. John 17:21 and 22. Now watch this. That they all. Now you don't have to have the Greek or the Hebrew to understand what the word all means. That they all may be one as you. Yep. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me. Now listen, you got to have a highly edumacated theologicalness to mess that sentence up. But Well, look at that. They all may be one as you are in me. 10 one-syllable words and 1 two-syllable word, Father. You can't miss what Jesus is saying. Jesus, on the last night, this is his last prayer that he gets to pray before the crucifixion with the disciples. And he says, Father, that they get to be one as you and I are one.
Hallelujah.
Well, Pastor, who do you think you are saying you can be one with Jesus? You haven't heard the bongos, Roger? Well, everybody pause for a minute. Thank you, Brother Roger. Now, people are like, "Hey, guy don't ever lose his place." I got the Holy Spirit. It's not me preaching, it's him. Think about Jesus. Can you imagine the joy that's in Jesus' heart right now while he's praying this prayer? He says, do you guys realize you get to be one with the Father just like I am one with him? I mean, you gotta think about the disciples. Their eyes in this Passover feast got to be about this big around because Judas just left, and they're like, where did he go? Who's he giving money to? What's going on? Jesus said the betrayer, what? And then Jesus says, Father, that they can be one just like you and I are one. Wait, he said it in such a manner, John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, listen now. Woo! Brother Roger is always over there saying, 4 more hours, get the fire on. We got fire going tonight, Roger. Think about this. Jesus said, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And then if you add this to it, so they can be one with him. Now,
amen.
Thank you, Phyllis. And if you got a white hanky, you can wave it in the background too, Phyllis. We know that's not surrender. We know that's just you shouting hallelujah. Into a brush arbor, Phyllis?
No.
You are from the South. You've never been to a brush arbor? Or is that just a Texas thing?
I don't know.
You don't even know? That's good. Well, all of us Kentucky folk know they take a bunch of brush, stand it up, and they make a roof out of brush and shrub branches and stuff. And then they put chairs underneath there, and it's a brush arbor, and you go out in the pasture, and they preach underneath it. Don't you remember Brother Jerry Savelle telling the story about preaching in the brush arbor? It was one of his first messages he ever preached. And the guy said, Brother Jerry, I heard you're looking for a place to preach. He said, well, yes, I am. He said, well, I got a brush arbor. You want to preach out there? Let's schedule a meeting. So he said, we scheduled a meeting, put up a bill, you know, advertising it and everything, and like they used to do. And he said, we showed up, and I said, I didn't know what no brush arbor was. So I said to the guy, all right, I'm here. Where are we going? And he said, we get in his old truck and drive out in the pasture. And he's like, what are we doing out here? He says, well, that's where the brush arbor is. And he said, sure enough, we come out there, and there's this little building thing built like a structure. He's like, well, what if the cows walk through? He goes, the cows ain't going to walk through. He said, when I got done preaching, I asked everybody to bow their head to pray for salvation. And he said, say this after me. And when he said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, he said, the only one that said anything was the old cow. And she goes, boo. And she walked right into Brother Everett. Now, I have no idea how we got on the Rush Arbor. That has nothing to do with Jesus, but it was sure a fun story, and I like fun stories. Now, think of the joy that's in Jesus' heart on this last night. He's just told them, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you don't get to go with me, but you will know the way. And think about this, guys. This is Jesus. He's saying, and think about this. Greater things than I have done, you will do. And they all looked at Peter like, well, Peter might. But that was a promise from Jesus. If you make that so holy, you'll never do anything for God. Why? Because everything about God is so holy, you could never be it. No, it's so real that you get to do it and be it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's see if we can get into one more verse. Oh, no. We got to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and then we got to go back to John and read where Jesus said, I and the Father are one. No. Where Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. This is good preaching tonight. I'm enjoying it. 2 Some of you might be like, well, that's weird, Pastor. No, it's not weird. Many times while I'm preaching, I'm like, geez, I sure wish I could be taking over my own message. Why? Because what I'm saying is so powerful and it's so life-transforming that if I could just take notes, it would help me out big time. So then I have to go back and listen to it again to take my notes, because what's in my notes isn't actually what I needed to make a note of. Did that make any sense at all? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. See, when you realize this, you got to look at this and say, hold it. You know what that means? That means I've got to fight a battle better than the guy that's across the apartment from me does in the natural realm as a worldly man.
Amen.
Right? Yes. Say it with me. I've got to fight differently. Yeah, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not man-made. That's why the greatest weapon you'll ever use is blood of Jesus. And some of you are going to have to learn to use that blood every single day in every area of your life. And it don't matter if you use the blood 87 times before noon. It's okay, because in using it, you brought to the enemy the number one force that's going to stop him in his tracks every single time. Say it with me. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb out of our mouth. See, the blood of Jesus ain't doing any good on the cross. You and I got to take it off of this page and begin to go to war. Look at, keep reading. Are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, pulling down a strong hold. Well, once you're born again, you're a new creation. We studied that last night. We've studied that many times here. Once you're born again, you are a new creation. Not maybe, not might be. You are a new creation. Well, if you are, since you are a new creation, the enemy is going to want to send fiery darts at you, which is what you used to be before the blood and the name came. And say it. All it is a fiery dart. But see, the enemy says, oh, no, it's a stronghold in your life. Oh, no, it is not by the blood of Jesus. I take the blood of Jesus right now. I thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you for your stripes. Thank you for your righteousness. I receive it right now. I am not that old stronghold person. I am whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
Keep reading. Verse 5, casting down arguments. That means stop arguing with your husbands, wives. Stop arguing with your wives, husbands. Stop arguing with your kids. Stop arguing with the pastor. Stop arguing. The gripers get the vipers. It says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now watch this. How do I do that, Pastor? What can we say is a really bad thing that people could be? I don't want to talk about that one.
Stubborn.
That's really good, Phyllis.
It actually is hard-hearted.
Hard-hearted and stubborn.
Stubborn, yeah.
So, if you're hard-hearted and stubborn, that's probably one of the better ones to use. You are going to have to take the blood of Jesus to yourself regularly. Why? Because hard-hearted and stubborn isn't just an action of a human. It is the response and the effect of a demonic spirit. I'll say it again. Hard-heartedness and stubbornness is really rebellion. And which is witchcraft. So that's probably the best illustration we could give. So if that's you, you're going to have to take the blood of Jesus to every one of those thoughts that the enemy brings back to you. They're no longer in you. He's made you a new creation, a species of being that never existed before. Let me just try something here. I just got to try something. Is it all right if I try something?
Sure.
I can leave my notes there now that I got this next piece of electronic equipment. It is like such an amazing thing. Let's go to, where was we at? 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to read it in the Amplification. Wow. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ. Now, he's throwing us back to Romans 9, 10, and 11 right there. Grafted in. If any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah. Now, watch this. Everybody listen. He is a new creation. He's a new crustacean. He is a new creation. Now watch. A new creature altogether. Why is that so important, Pastor? Because God wipes all of it away. The old, previous, and moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Now, let's read. I don't call it a translation, but let's read the Message paraphrase. Now, we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start is created new. The old life is gone. New life, Bergerans, look at it. So what is he saying? He's saying, everything you once was, you ain't. Yeah, but Pastor, all of that stuff I once was still comes at me. Every time I arched my back in rebellion and I got gnarly with somebody, that comes back to me. Well, yeah, it does. Why? Because the enemy wants to hit you with that fiery dart so that it can stick in you and get you to give up the word that you've just received. I'm a new creation. This is why you take the blood and you bring that blood of Jesus in, because the devil can't come where the blood of Jesus is.
Hallelujah.
Can I get an amen right of anybody right there? The devil is not going to come.
Amen.
Amen. We got one more. Now, think about it.
Amen.
Amen. Once you get that solidity on the inside of you, you're born again. You've got a word now. This word has taken root down in here. And the enemy says, I'm not going to let that word take root. So he's got to start shooting. He can't get to you because you're actually a new creation. And Jesus Christ is living in there. He can't get to you until you start saying, well, that old life, I guess I really am not. I will always be bound by that. And as soon as you make that statement out of your mouth, guess what's going to happen to you? You will always be bound by that, because God's got to let you have what you say, even if he doesn't want you to have it, because you just said it. Yeah, but Pastor, I didn't know. I know you didn't know. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's why you got to listen to your pastor. You got to listen to a man of God like me, a woman of God, Sister Leanne, anybody else gets on here and says it. You've got to let us break down that cold, hard heart of rebellion and hard-heartedness and stubbornness.
Amen.
You know how many people I know? Now listen to this. This is from my life as El Pastoro. I would see them. They come to church, and the worship music starts, and at first they're standing there like this, arms crossed. Why? They've been at it, and they didn't win last night, evidently. And after about 2 or 3 minutes, they're like, then they move their hands close, but they're like, no, thank you, Jesus. And then they move it farther out, and they may lift them way up and say, thank you, Jesus. What's happening? The anointing is destroying that yoke of the enemy that's trying to destroy you. They're still the same person. They've just allowed the enemy to heap all this guilt, condemnation, confusion, bitterness, hatred, wrath, anger, stubbornness, rebellion, heap it back up on them and say, see, you had that thought, so you're still that person. You really didn't get saved. Well, no, I didn't have that thought. I'm a new creation. You shot a fiery dart at me that came from outside and tried to stick inside, and by the blood of Jesus, I shake all that stuff off of me. Why? Because I got a shield of faith that says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Woo! See, Jesus said, Father, that they may be one in you, like you are in me. That is Jesus. And he just said that. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. Look at this verse. I might have to look this up. It's going to be in the King James. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. It's in the King James, and it's a verse that says, you are no longer a mere man. Or it says something like that, mere man. See if you guys can pick that up for me. Mere is spelled M-E-R-E. Maybe it's not spelled that way. I couldn't find it on my e-sword, so somebody get it. But watch it. Let's go back to John 17. Verse 22. Look at this one. This is Jesus praying for you and for me. Find it? 1 Corinthians 3. Well, you know, that might be where it is. That would be on 9/11, being saying you were a mere man. 1 Corinthians 9:11. All right, that's not it.
No. Hebrews 7:16.
Hebrews 7:16. Read it. Or do you not have it?
Oh, I'm in the Passion Translation. And all this is made any clearer if there was another king priest raised up with the rank of Melchizedek. This king of priests did not arise in the genealogical right under the law to be a priest, but by the power of an indestructible resurrection life. For it says in the Psalms, you're like Melchizedek.
Yeah, that's probably not it either, but it's still a good verse. Now here's the thing. We'll dig it up and we'll find it. And that might be a Greek or Hebrew definition that somebody's come up with and preached, and I heard him preach it sometime. But the reality is, you are no longer the old man that you used to be. Okay? So let's look at John 17:22. Now look what this one says about being one with the Father. And the glory which you gave me. This is Jesus praying to the Father. The glory you, Father, gave me, I have given them. The Father gave glory to Jesus. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he's minutes away from going out to suffer and die. And he says, Father, the glory you gave them, you gave me, I just gave that glory to them. One person said, Pastor, what's that glory? I believe, my personal belief is that glory is righteousness. Because the Father had to give Jesus righteousness, and Jesus had to receive it so that he could be the example of how to receive righteousness to you and me. Because everything Jesus did, he did as the sinless example on this earth for us. So think about this fact. The glory, I'm in John 17:22. The glory which you gave me, that means capitalized, I have given them for what purpose? That they may be one just as we are one. Well, the only thing that Jesus, the number one force Jesus is going to give them so they can be one with the Father is righteousness, because as a human, you're born in unrighteousness. I can hear the gears grinding. I can hear the tires spinning. I can hear the gravel popping. Why? Because this is what helps us, like mere mortals. Maybe that's what it said. Now watch. 23. I'm in John 17:23. I in them. You in me. That they may be made perfect in one. Flawless. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them just as you have loved me. Guys, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You and I get to live perfect union with the Father if we will grow and develop into that understanding and relationship. I don't know. This is not a thus saith the Lord. Ready? I need a button to push. This is all points bulletin. This is not a thus saith the Lord. But I wonder sometimes when I'm meditating if people who walk around saying, well, yeah, but I sin every day in word, thought, and deed. It doesn't matter. I sin every day. I wonder sometimes if they'll actually make it in the rapture. Because God's word by the Holy Spirit through Paul's mouth said, any man that's in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away and all things become new. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, certainly not. And all it is a doctrine of a man who couldn't beat sin because he was trying to beat in his own strength. You can't beat sin in your own strength. I know, Pastor. I just have to give the sin to Jesus and then he'll take it away. No, you've got to actually get the revelation of the righteousness of God and that you have been made into his righteousness. But you can't do anything to earn it. You just have to receive it. I'm preaching better than you're staring right now. And some of you ain't even staring. You're sitting there saying, man, he's just going to get on this again, isn't he? I think I'm going to be on this till the day that Jesus comes back. And then all y'all that missed the rapture, come back and find our videos, and we'll tell you exactly what to do to find Jesus. Because you'll believe me on that day. How? Think about this. Wait. Let's go to, there we go. Wait, let me, oh, she come, baduti gabana. Ready? Let's find this verse. Ready?
You haven't found the last one yet?
Well, you might just not worry about that, and we'll dig it up a little later on tonight. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 22 and 23. Blue 42, hike 726. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. What did I say? 725. I want to see if Mike Thompson can help me out here. 7 what? 7:26. That didn't help me anymore.
Mr. Miller says, will that then give us strength to stop our sin?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is, Richard. Good to have you with us tonight, sir. It's good to have you with us. Think. Let's just look at this. I just need one more bookmark. Go with me to Ephesians 2, 22 and 23. And he, notice the he is capitalized. So that means it's referring to God. Now watch. And he, God, the Father, put all things under his feet. That his is Jesus. He, God, put all things under his Jesus' feet and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. Say it with me. Jesus is the head of the church. Okay. Go ahead, fellas.
Jesus is the head of the church.
Amen. Now watch. Is his body. The church is the body of Christ. So picture this. The head, Jesus, is bright and pure and holy and perfect and sinless and righteous. But the body of Christ is sinful and sins every day in word, thought, and deed, and I just can't make it. So his head is perfect and his body is imperfect. Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do. Don't do the things I want to do. How do we do the things we know we should be doing and not what we shouldn't be doing? I'm struggling with that now. Amen. Glad to be here. I'm driving. Oh, you're a truck driver. Awesome, brother. Well, hey. That's a big 10-4. Wait, what's Brother Roger always say? Motor them easy and motor them safe.
Especially if you're testing while you're driving.
For those of you who find a truck driver and he's just wandering one day and he keeps going like this, that's because he's pushing that button on the side of his thing so he can make a text. And if it comes across and it's just a messed up text, just delete it. Don't even try reading it because Siri messed it up. Matter of fact, today, man, I'm on my way home in the truck and I'm sending you a text. I'm sending my wife a text. And I said something and Siri said, I don't understand. I said, Siri, shut up. I wasn't talking to you anyways. She goes, well, that's not very nice. I'm like, I am not talking to a stupid machine any longer.
Is Siri saying, don't mess with me or I'll mess up your text?
Oh, my. All right. So, wait, let's get back to this. I want you to get this picture. Remember. Yeah, probably so. I'm getting wound up, so I should probably have some more coffee. It's slowing me down. Now, I want you to get this. Because that's a really good set of verses you just spoke, Richard. The good that I would, I don't do, and that which is evil, I do. Now, oh, wretched man that I am. But see, when he says wretched man that I am, that's before Christ. Now, I know Romans was written to the body, to the people. But listen. You got to put it all into perspective. When you come to Christ, you are a new creation. So you are no longer that wretched man. You're no longer that wretched man. So let's look at these verses again. Then we're going to hit Romans. We'll hit Ezekiel. We'll hit a few more. Watch this. Ephesians 1:22. Listen to what it says. And he, God, put all things under his, Jesus, feet and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. Well, the church is his body. but we have Jesus, the head, perfect, holy, righteous, the perfect sinless example, but we have his body. Look at 23. The fullness of him who fills all in all. The church is his body, but the church isn't holy. We sin every day in word, thought, and deed. So here's Jesus' head. He's the head saying, I don't sin. And the body says, yes, we do. And Jesus says, no, we don't. And the body says, yes, we do. Well, that's a schism in the body. And Jesus is the head, so the head is always going to get what the body needs. Woo! All right. We were there the other day, but let's just go there again right now. Think about every time Jesus looked at somebody and said, neither do I condemn you. What did he say next? Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. Well, he just told somebody before the cross, before the blood was shed, before the stripes were taken, before the whipping was had, he told them, go and sin no more. And they didn't even have a Bible, the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit, nothing. They had one word. Jesus said, go and sin no more. And they could go in the power of that word, and that word set them free. Now, why would Jesus look at somebody and say, sin no more, if he knew that there was no way they could beat that sin? He wouldn't do that. That would be unjust. But see, it's just like the Father to say, go and sin no more, because he is going to take all that stuff out of you and put his righteousness on the inside of you. Now go with me. Let's get this. Let's see. I'm looking, it's 22. Ezekiel 22:26 or 26:22. What is it? Well, isn't that something? 37. Somewhere in Ezekiel it says, I will take out of you the stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and you will receive my spirit. There it is. Ezekiel 36:22. And that runs down through 32. Watch. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is God speaking to the Holy, by the Holy Spirit to the brother Ezekiel. All right? Thus says the Lord, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. Jesus didn't pay this price for our sake. He did it for his name's sake. And then gave it to you and I as a gift. It's called the free gift of righteousness. You can never be good enough for God to accept you. And so people are like, hold the fort. What did you just say? You'll never be good enough for God to accept you. If you don't receive his righteousness, it is impossible for you in your own flesh to be good enough by decision, by choice, by merit, to receive what he was. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, obeyed all the law. All we have to do is accept it. Amen, Richard.
Yes.
It's called the free gift of righteousness. Now listen. For those of you that's listening, you're like, man, this is so new, Pastor. I never heard anything. Just so you know, I struggled with this for 40 years. Who knows how long I struggled with it? I struggled with it a long time. And this preacher looked at me, Because I said, I don't know what the righteousness of faith is. And he about punched me. You know, he's like, what? I'm like, I'm sorry, brother. I don't know what it means. And he said, you ever notice that it's hard to not sin in your flesh? I'm like, Jesus, Lord have mercy. If this preacher just said, have you ever noticed that it's hard not to sin? Preacher said that. I said, yeah, why? He said, that's because no matter how much you try, you're still going to sin. I'm like, well, that's not very encouraging. He goes, it will be now because that's why Jesus gives you his righteousness and you get to have his and you don't have to have your own. I'm like, well, glory, hallelujah. I jump right up off the pew and dance. Woo! Why? All you got to do is receive that free gift of righteousness. Ready? And then everywhere you go, tell everybody about this. Tell everyone this message I'm teaching to you right now. Why? Because we got to get the church out of I'm a born again person, and they don't have the foggiest idea what that means.
Yeah.
And they tell people every day, well, I sin every day in word, thought, deed. I ain't no different. Now, listen, I hear Christians say this all the time to sinners, I'm no better than you. Well, then why are they going to want to be like you if you ain't no better than them? Jesus said, you're the light of the world, except for those of you that's still sinning. Paul, John, Mary, Becky, Esther, I got to get all my brothers and sisters in. John said, if you're sinning, you are still in darkness. Does anybody even know what verse we're on anywhere? Well, yeah, sometimes you feel different, but it ain't about feeling. Matter of fact, Richard, I'd say most days it's not about feeling at all. Not about a feeling. It's about, you foul devil, you just brought my past back. That is not who I am. It's just a picture. I take the blood of, this is my words I say, I take the blood of Jesus to you right now. And not only do I live and walk in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I claim every person that was around me anywhere when any of that old junk happened, I claim every person that they get to come to know Jesus because I was supposed to be knowing Jesus. I just didn't know about, I received his righteousness yet. See, all of a sudden when you just go ahead, when you and I just go ahead and say, Jesus, I receive the free gift of righteousness and live in it, and you really come to this understanding that he makes you into righteousness, you will never sin another day. That holy, pure, perfect, peaceful, powerful righteousness that he turned you into, you will never want to violate that another day of your life, and you'll work diligently every moment you're awake every day to not cross that line and go in it. Should I like go way out on a limb? Not like I've ever done that before. Well, let me say this to you. I'm gonna step way out. All right. Men are visual. Right? And summer is hot. Speaking slowly so that we don't tip any of the religious folk out of the boat when I say this. When it gets hot, sinful women take their clothes off. Everybody paying attention? Men are visual. Summer's hot. Summertime, women take the clothes off. So it's visual. But no matter what, that man has to face literally Jesus will so transform you that you will literally out of your mouth make the statement, I would never violate one of the daughters of Zion of my father with my eyes another day of my life. Now, let me just pause and ask my wife if I said that good enough. Why are you saying that? Well, I'm trying to put it down into the reality of where people are at.
You did just fine, honey.
Thank you, Phyllis. And I don't ask Phyllis, I don't ask my wife to say that so it makes me feel better. In all reality, it doesn't matter what I'm saying. If it isn't making sense, I've got to say it in another way where it will make sense, because the worst feeling in the world as a pastor is you hang up, you finish the program, and nobody got a word you said. No, we ain't going there. So the man gets born again. And he was somebody that had given himself to lust. Fiery darts of the enemy are going to be shot at him to remind him of every lustful thing he did. Pay attention now. But Jesus just made him a new creation. He's no longer that person. All those thoughts are not his. They're fiery darts. So you take the blood of Jesus and the righteousness of Jesus, and you go, no, I have been made righteous. That's not righteous. I would never do that. Maybe you're somebody that was always stealing. You go in the store and you reach your hand out. You're like, whoa, what? Why? Because the righteousness in you says, do not do that. And you're like, thank you, Jesus, for the free gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. I've been washed and made whole. I am a brand new creation. All that stuff has passed away, and all that was the picture of my past that no longer has any hold on me another day of my life. Sister Phyllis said earlier when we were talking about it, people who are stubborn and rebellious and obstinate, those are tough ones to get over, because they really deal with pride, arrogance, and man, pride and arrogance gets into witchcraft, and you start controlling people and everything. And that's a tough one for some people to break. But all you got to do is just humble yourself. I love Brother Jesse DePlantis' teaching from this point of view, that he always says, if you don't humiliate sin, sin will humiliate you. And he said, tells the story of the one time being on the airplane, and he said, a very, very, very beautiful lady sat down next to me. And he said, her first words out of her mouth was, I like your hair. Well, that's not like a very holy statement that was being made. And he just said, I thought, you foul devil, you're going to bring that woman up in my face. I'm going to humiliate sin because sin won't humiliate me. And he said, I just jumped up and pointed at her and said, whore of Babylon. The whole plane is hearing him say, whore of Babylon. And the lady got up and ran to the back of the plane out of first class and never did see her again the rest of the trip. You might say, well, Pastor, that's just mean to that lady. Well, no, what she was getting ready to do was mean. But why? Because that's no longer you. I love the story. He said he walked out on the street out by a big hotel in the big city, and he said one of the ladies of the night showed up and said, hey, you want some company? And he said, I'm a dead man. And she said, well, oh, I'm sorry. And she said, have you gone to see if you could get any help? He said, I don't want any help. I want to stay dead. Why? Dead men don't sin. Paul said, how should we who are dead to sin live any longer therein. You're not. You're one with the Father. The head can't be holy and the body be unholy. Now, let's get into my Ezekiel verses, and we'll see how much farther we're going to go tonight, because this is really good. If you got questions, and they seem to be deeper questions than just the surface like we're doing tonight, send them to me an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Brother Roger, type in my email address there so people have it. Send me an email, because I want you to get, when you get this one fact right here, this truth about the righteousness of God Christ, it changes everything about you. Because now all those old thoughts, they're not yours. You've been made a new creation. They're fiery darts. They're coming from the outside at you. All you got to do is lift up the shield of faith, which is speak to that mountain to be removed, and it'll be removed. My email address is hgpreacherman@gmail.com. One of them will type it in. Ezekiel 36, and let's go back here. And we started with 22. Let's get 23. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Look at this. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, bring you into your own land. 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you. Well, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit. I will cleanse you from all your unfilthiness. You ain't cleansing yourself. He's cleansing you. And from your idols. Look at this. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. It's not your spirit has now been brought alive from the dead. Amen. Pastor, preach it. Hallelujah. Put a new spirit within you. Look at this. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. There's no question there. That's God talking. I will put my spirit in you. You can't get the Holy Spirit by effort. He's a gift. He's a gift. 28, you will dwell in the land I gave your fathers. You shall be my people. I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. That has to happen now, or Jesus died in vain. If death is the only time you're truly free from sin, then death is your savior. And death is an enemy. The final enemy is death. And yet Paul said, where's your sting? Where's your victory, grave? Because when I close my eyes here, I'll be standing over there, and I'm going to close my eyes here in righteousness, and I'm going to be entered in over there in righteousness. Now, there's a whole lot of people who never had this understanding, that made it into the other side just because they were so determined to walk with God and walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, everything in this set of verses says, I will do this for you. Now, watch this. Let's go to John chapter 1. Yeah, that's a good one. John chapter 1. Look at this. John chapter 1. Eleven. and 12 and 13 and 14. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They didn't receive him as the Messiah. But as many as received him, that's a gift, to them he gave the right, the power, to become children of God. It doesn't say to as many as repented of every sin they've ever committed. It says to as many as received him, capital him. To them he gave the right, the power, to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were not born, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus said, I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one with you, Father, like you and I are one every day. John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whenever you wanted to go sin after you were born again, you could spit on the blood of Jesus. That is not what that verse says. I figured Phyllis was going to say, preach it right. Hallelujah. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone, whosoever, believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son to this world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved, not at death, while they're on the earth.
I really like it when people complete that doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't say one of those without the other, in my opinion. That the world through him might be saved. Why did Jesus say to people when he was on this earth, neither do I condemn you, go and say, I mean, think about it, guys. That lady's laying there in front of Jesus, probably completely naked, to prove the point that she was taken in adultery and brought before Jesus, and we got to stone this woman. She's taken in adultery. Well, they knew that she wouldn't get stoned because they knew Jesus wouldn't do it, and one of them was in on it, or how did they know? Jesus looked at a woman laying there naked and said, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's before the cross. That's before the blood. That's before the stripes. Jesus took stripes. He took our whip and our beating for us. Isn't it a shame that Jesus took a beating so we didn't have to sin, but we still... No, see, that's why I'm confronting this thought processes tonight. The blood isn't so holy you can't use it. The blood is so holy, for goodness sakes, use it. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's how we overcome. Now, how do we bring this to a close? Oh, John 17. Let's just go back there. Remember. This is Jesus. On the last night, the disciples are getting ready to watch their Jesus, their rabbi, their master, their teacher, the great healer. They're getting ready to watch him go out and surrender and be crucified. And this is Jesus' last prayer for them before they open the door. Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is betrayed and carried away. I'm going to start in verse 20, John 17, 20, and I'm going to read it. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So he's praying for the 12, the 11, and he's praying for you and I because we'll believe in them. We're reading John's work, therefore we believe. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me. And I am in you. There's nothing difficult about this. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. When we're living the holy life as one with the Father, the world will believe that Jesus, God sent Jesus here. And the glory which you, Father, gave me, Jesus, I, Jesus, have given them, the disciples, that they may be one just as we are one, Father. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. The body's got to be perfect in order for Jesus to function in it. You can't get somebody free from sin if you aren't free yourself. Not going to happen. 34, 23, I mean. I in them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And here's where I believe Jesus describes what the glory is. Verse 25. Oh, righteous Father. That's the glory. Gave Jesus his righteousness. Jesus gave us his righteousness. The glory the Father gave him, Jesus gave that same glory to us, that we could be one, because you can't be one until you're holy. Woo! The world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place. Jesus' very last prayer on this earth, that you and me could be one with him. one with the Father. What a place to live. See, when we actually live in this every day, we'll be able to pray for anybody, anywhere, at any moment of the day. And just say, brother, can I pray for you? And they'll either say yes or no. I've actually had people say, no, you can't pray for me. But most people say, yes, you can. Most people say, yes, you can. You're no longer a wretched man. Wretched woman. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He, get it, he made you his righteousness. Made you into his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 23. Wait. Get that verse right. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. 21. For he made him, Jesus. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become or be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 5:17. We have received the free gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. And therefore now we get to reign in life with him in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Everybody pray this prayer. Now, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. And anytime you start to confront the devil, the enemy, don't close your eyes when you confront our enemy. You open your eyes when you're shooting at an enemy. We close our eyes to give worship to God. Say this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I receive all of who you are.
I receive all of who you are.
Into my life right now.
My life right now.
I receive all of your love and your mercy.
I receive all of your love and your mercy.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and righteousness.
And I walk in it every day.
And I walk in it every day.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
I receive the free gift of righteousness.
I receive the free gift of righteousness.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Now, amen. Some of you might, right then when you prayed that, you may have got a rush of, many people call it feeling, but really it's not, it's really not a feeling. The rush you got was a rush of purity filling you, holiness filling you, God filling you. What that really was his righteousness, and you were being made into it. And of course, when the sin is obliterated and righteousness comes, that's an experience. It's not a feeling, though. I don't call it a feeling. It's an experience because you may have never been completely free from sin, but now you are. Woo! Make you shout glory. I don't even have a hanky, but I can sure use a Kleenex here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, go back and listen to this. Those of you who go back and listen to it again, put some timestamps in it. Seriously. What's a timestamp, Pastor? Make a comment. Like, along and I gave you the reference for a specific set of verses, click pause, and you'll see that time thing, and it'll say 7:45, and then slash, and it'll say 1 hour and 32 minutes, however long the video is. That first number is the point. Just take that number, stick it in your comment, and then tell us what that comment is. This is John 17, 20 through 26. And just make a comment with that time number, which would be 07:45, and then the statement. It's John 7, whatever it is. And when you put a timestamp in, it not only helps you to be able to come back and find that exact spot again, but it also helps somebody else to find that exact spot. And that gives you the ability to preach to the whole world of YouTube, and you didn't even have to buy a suit. You didn't have to put on a tie. You didn't have to have a pulpit or a church building or nothing. You get to preach, and people come by, and they click on your comment, and they say, wow, amen, that's for sure. And you had the opportunity to be a blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Now, this is the point when we receive communion, and we receive communion every night here. I mean, I guess we can't say every night. There's been a few nights we've missed, but out of the last 1,300 nights, it's probably only been about five or six. So that ain't too bad for a group of folks saying, you know what? We're going to enjoy the presence of God and the wonderfulness of his ways every time we come here because the Holy Spirit assigned us to. And as a matter of fact, if you go back and you listen to last night's message on the video, the whole video of when it was recorded, we actually take communion twice on that video because we had a large group of people that was joining us in Eastern time zone at the beginning. And another group that was joining us on the Western, the Pacific time zone at the end. And so you had these two groups of people about 2.5-3 hours apart. And we wanted to provide communion for them both. And the Holy Spirit said, do communion twice, one at the beginning, one at the end. And it's like, man, I had never done that before, but it doesn't matter. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. And we've probably had 100 people that this is the first time they ever received communion is right here with you and I. What we're going to do is I'm going to read the verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then we'll pray the prayer of salvation for everybody to be born again. And then we'll give about 2 minutes worth of instruction. And then we'll receive our communion elements together. It's the assignment God gave us to do. May not be how you've done it before, but it's okay. Have some water. Here we go. Oh, we're doing good. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28, and verse 31. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 28. This is the process. Let a man examine himself. Not everybody else. Examine yourself. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. If you examine yourself and find out that you're in sin or you've done something, when you start examining, God will eliminate you. Make sure you take care of it when you pray. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. I could have just started preaching all over again right then. John 4, 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world, right here, right now. Perfect love casts out fear, and the torment, the trauma, comes with it. Why? There is no fear in God's perfect love. Indeed. Ready? Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Whoops. I've totally forgotten that I have this available so everybody can read it. Are you ready? I'm almost ready. That was pretty good for not being ready.
Now, are you ready?
I'm ready now. Mm-hmm. One more thing here. I just got to get all the stuff moved around on the screen. We just moved Sister Phyllis from one screen to another, and she didn't even fall out of her chair. Here we go. This is the prayer of salvation. If you pray this prayer with us, and you mean this from the bottom of your heart, when we're finished, you will be right with God with the inward witness that he's touched you. Everybody pray with us. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. And it says, pause and shout. Hallelujah. Oh, Sister Phyllis got bounced. Now, let's give you a few words of instruction. You might say, Pastor, what just happened to me? Your darkness just turned to light. Your sin just turned to righteousness. Your fear just turned to faith in one moment. When you said, Jesus, I receive you, it's all done. In one act. Remember when we was kids, we heard the story about the guy that had the sling and one stone killed seven birds or whatever it was? Remember that story?
No. Two birds with one stone. But seven.
Never heard seven? Well, yeah. I went to a school where they had a modified... Anyways. See, God don't have to go anywhere to be everything. So as soon as you say, I receive you, Jesus, all of Jesus comes to live in you. And he can't live in you when you're a dirty vessel. So he's got to purify. Sins are all thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. And his righteousness is now implanted in you. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's that good. You are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Isn't that just something, how that works? Now, this is what we know. From this point forward, you're going to have somebody help you know how to walk with God. That's where we come in. All right? And our place is to stand alongside of you and begin to disciple you, just like tonight was great discipleship process about being one with the Father and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we do here. Take this video, share it with everybody, put a timestamp at the beginning of the message, and just tell people, click on that timestamp. It'll take you right to the beginning of the message, and you don't have to listen to all the announcements and the things that are at the beginning. And the day's coming. It's real soon. When that specific person is going to be here that's going to be able to help us, where we can edit off the beginning and any different mistakes that happen throughout the video, and it's just one clean video of all the teaching. And those days are coming real soon. Now, you might say, Pastor, I don't even know how to be a Christian. I've met a lot of people since the pandemic that don't know. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you my Bible again. Called the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I recommend this one. I recommend you get the $80 model. Woo, Pastor, that's a lot of money. Well, you spent more than that on a steak dinner probably. But here's the deal. This Bible doesn't have any man's doctrine in it. It's just one verse correlated to another verse with all kinds of Bible study aids in it. And it'll help you begin to know who God is. And that's what you got to do. And I recommend it. Get the leather one. Just spend some extra money. Just set it aside. Give up your Starbucks or your candy bars or your pop for a month or something. Matter of fact, just tell God you want one. He'll bring you the $80 and just bless you, and you'll be able to have one anyways. And then begin to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And then read it again and again and again. Because that's the story of Jesus in the beginning of the church. And then just show up here, because it doesn't matter where we are in our teaching. You don't have to start at first grade here. Because the teacher, even though my lips are the one that's moving, the teacher is the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you come here. I break open the bread of life, give you the meal that's prepared for you. You take it. You begin to digest it. You write down the verses. You won't write down every verse. You might write down every verse, but there will be specific verses that just continually stand out. Get them entered into revelation. Speak them out loud until they become revelation to you. And we'll help you walk with God. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell so every time we go live, you can be with us. It's 7 days a week, but we want you to be able to be a partaker of all that we do. If you say, Pastor, this is awesome. I want to start my own little group like this. Can I use your paper, your messages? Certainly you can. Contact me, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. I will help you do that. I will help you do that. I know how to do this. I've been doing it now. We've been doing live here for 3 years, and I've been doing Blog Talk Radio for about 14 now. And so... welcome, and we're glad to have you here with us in Jesus' mighty name. All right, here we go. Grab your elements, and we will receive communion elements together. Sister Phyllis, thank you for praying with us tonight. We appreciate that. Appreciate your always being there to help us anytime you can. We truly do. Brother Roger, Sister Rebecca, Brother Dan, all of you that are our faithful ones here, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Here we go. Hold your elements up and let's pray together. The words are on the screen, so all you got to do is read the screen. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my willpower, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supply in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me, or this prayer. I receive the bread, your broken body now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread together. Now, pray this with me. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word. In remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. Pray this with me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes I am made white, and I will always be the glorious church, without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive the juice together. And now, let's sing a different song than we usually sing. I'm inspired to just sing a worship song. So let's make it real simple so anybody can follow us. All right, Sister Phyllis? Here we go. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for transforming us by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, that is all we have for tonight. Thank you so much for being here. Richard, share this video with all your truck driving buddies. I would love to get a truck driver's group started. It's just truck drivers. Brother Dan and I have been talking about it. Brother Dan, Brother Roger and I. Actually, Brother James Eichers, one, two. Brother Ken Brumbaugh and Gary West. All of us on here. All those guys are truck drivers. And glad to have you. And let's connect. Make sure we connect. Get our email. Here, let me type my email in there.
Do we have time for me to read the benediction?
Oh, my goodness, Phyllis. Thank you that you're so faithful to say it. Miss Phyllis is now going to read us our benediction.
Verse 20 through 25. Okay, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, who glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And I also like to read Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And I love that.
Amen. I like it. He made us kings and priests to God. Hallelujah. Well, there you go. Tomorrow morning, this is Wednesday, so Thursday morning, we're going to be here for prayer at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central, and we pray for the nation. We pray for each other. We put our agreement with Brother Dutch Sheets, and then as of this morning, we started to study that teaching by Sister Nancy, Overcoming Grief. It's a powerful, powerful teaching. I listened to session number 3. My daughter sent them to me as soon as they're made because she works in ministry with Nancy. And powerful word. Powerful word. And we thank you. We bless you. Remember, none of these videos cost you any money. So if there's no charge, there's no excuse for not knowing.
Amen.
If you search the words "one with him" with my name for this YouTube channel, you're going to find about 20 messages. And they, every one of them would be a blessing to you. And the first part, you know, we talk and do some family things sometimes. And sometimes God gives us an assignment or something to pray for. We talk about current events. So whenever you are on a video and you find that initial point where you see me raise my Bible and say, not first verse, something like that, put a timestamp right there in one of the comments. I'll see it when you make it, and then I'll pin that. That way we know the time where that video starts, and you can just put in there, message begins, and then we'll just always keep that as the top comment, and people will click on it, and that'll help them go right to the beginning of the message. And it's a very, thank God for YouTube. YouTube's in a severe blessing. If you want to know about current events, I recommend that you go to Telegram, make friends with a man named Amir Sarfati, T-A-R-F-A-T-I, Sarfati. He's a Jewish man, lives on the Sea of Galilee, about 2 miles from the road to Emmaus, where the disciples were at. And he'll help you keep up on current events. And besides that, until we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God,
loves
you.
And
Jesus
is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Good night.
God bless you. Good night. Bless you, Roger, Rebecca, Brother Richard. See you guys soon. All of you on Blog Talk Radio, we love you. We call you blessed. Share this with all your friends, families, countrymen, neighbors all over the world. And it'll be a blessing to everybody. God bless you.